Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Sarkhan Speaks, Jared and Bob here. Game two for us, as we mentioned in the last episode. We're doing a doubleheader today for you guys, but this is coming out on Thursday. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, you may have noticed. First of all, you should probably subscribe, right? Stop what you're doing. Just subscribe. Hit the button up top and then hit the thumbs up button. It's like, I think, over there somewhere. You may have noticed that that my name has changed on the screen. I'm like, oh, why does it say Spencer Pay Me? Well, that's because Spencer, who doesn't watch the show, right, doesn't listen to the show, but runs the whatever the fuck his podcast is called, No Free Ads, right? Because you'll see why. We split the Zoom license, right? And I texted him a while ago and was like, hey man, do you still do the podcast? You haven't put anything out in a while. And he was like, yeah, no, we're still doing it. We're just trying to like build a bank of like a bunch of different things. And I was like, all right, cool. So the Zoom license just re-upped then in January. And I think it was like $170 or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you owe me like $85. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. I sent him the Venmo. Crickets. 3 days later, I go, hey man, you gonna fulfill that Venmo? And he's like, ah, dude, like, my Venmo's all fucked up. I don't know what it is. He's like, do you have Cash App? I was like, yeah, I have Cash App. So he's like, all right, just do it through there. All right. Still haven't gotten it. That was like 3 weeks ago. So now I changed my name to Spencer Pay Me, right? Because they use this license. So when they go to log in to ever record their next podcast, their name is going to come up and it's going to say Spencer Pay Me. So that's step one. Step two is I'm just going to change the password on the account. And then they won't be able to log in at all. So Spencer, I know you, you don't listen to this, but fucking pay me, bro.
Where's my money, Spencer?
Yeah. You got money for all these,
fake mustaches,
all these vacations that you're going on. Posting pictures that he's skiing with his kids and his wife, and they're going on all these vacations, taking all these trips. Where's my money?
He's taunting you.
Yeah. Well, it'll be really funny when the password on the account gets changed and then they can't log in. And then I'll get a text. Hey, bro, has the Zoom not been working for you? No, it's been working fine.
Actually, the Zoom's fine.
Yeah, no, everything's fine. Ah, it's weird. Me and, what's his buddy's name that he does the show with?
Rob.
Me and Rob, we can't log in. We can't figure out. I don't know. Works for me. And that's exactly how it's going to go. I'd be like, I don't know, man. It works for me. I'm not going to say a fucking thing. I might let it sweat for a little bit and then be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you should probably fucking pay me and I'll give you the new password. So there we have it. It's a fun little story that I've been meaning to cover for a while because I think I changed my name like last week on here because I don't know how frequently they still record. Like I have no idea. But their Instagram is still active. Like they still post like random videos and stuff there. So outside of that, we have a loser lap to take. Joe Lieberman died. So
who is that?
He was the vice presidential candidate for Gore in 2000.
Oh,
I think it was a Gore Lieberman. Doesn't sound right.
Doesn't matter. Wasn't.
Yeah, he was a vice presidential candidate at some point in the 2000s. Whether it was Gore or Kerry, or no, Kerry, it had to have been Gore because Kerry went with John Edwards, the guy that cheated on his dying wife.
Oh, not the guy who spoke to ghosts or whatever.
Not the guy that talks to the dead. No, the other one.
Biggest douche in the universe.
Yeah. The guy, well, I mean, this guy cheated on his wife who had cancer, so that's a pretty fucking a big douche move.
What's he been doing since then?
I don't know, truthfully. I have no idea, but
Sounds like a fucking nobody.
yeah, let me see.
I'm gonna look up this nobody. No fucking talent ass clown. Ooh, I lost an election. Like, the fuck do I care?
Oh, he was a senator from Connecticut.
Close he was.
What a nerd. Until 2013. So he was the
Attorney
chair.
General.
He was the chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee.
What a bum.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything after 2013.
Wow, he looked fucking old in 2005. Holy shit.
Yeah, so he was 82.
He was only 63 in 2005. My God. That guy fucking aged like a nice milk. He looks like shit, dude.
Yeah, you know, I've had that conversation with like multiple people in the last like 2 weeks about how people age differently now, right? Like that picture of Joe Lieberman from 2005 when he was 63, you said 62. How old was he?
He was 63.
63. He literally looks like he could be 80 years old,
Yes.
right? So it's weird that someone in their 60s can look like they're 80. And like in the 70s, right? If you were like in your late 50s, you looked old. But now there's people that are in their 60s that could pass for like 40. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like the how kind of people always talk about like high school videos from like 2003. It's
Yeah.
like, why did everyone look so old in 2003?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. That's a real thing. Like people are just like, I don't know. They just looked old, like older. I don't know. Don't know what it is.
Again, I would say I have no explanation for it, but
Yeah, I'm
that
sure there's some
dude
fun
looked.
conspiracy behind it.
Yeah, we're all getting younger.
Yeah, it's the plastic in the water.
Yeah, maybe people just like fucking rode a lot harder back then too. That's probably it. Like life
Yeah.
in general was a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
People
Yeah.
got a little more weathered. If you will.
Cigarettes were a lot more popular back then, too. I feel like cigarettes are going to make you look a lot older. They're going to weather your skin and fucking probably make your hair go gray a lot sooner. Not a lot, not very many people smoke cigarettes today. At
No.
least under the age of like 40. So yeah, I don't know. Boozing. I think people booze less today too. I think that's a thing. I think that's an actual problem for alcohol companies right now. That's why you're seeing a lot of these like random like non-alcoholic beverages like popping up every here and there. Because I think I saw something that said Gen Z, which is the generation after us, is consuming the least amount of alcohol out of all generations, I think, that are still alive, which I think it's like per capita, right? I'm sure any members of the Silent Generation that are still alive are literally in their 90s. Like I'm sure they probably don't drink much either. But you know, I think at least maybe it's at the same age, right? So like Gen
Well, I
Z,
would say it would
however
have to be
old they
some
are
type of
now,
qualifier.
they might be, I don't know, who is the oldest Gen Z? What is it, 1997? I think it starts. So how old would you be? 90, 27, right?
Yep.
So like 27 and younger, right? So from 21 to 27, really, if you follow, the law. Like the group of people that are 21 to 27 right now consume less alcohol than all people between 21 to 27 prior, right? So that's why to combat that, all of the booze companies are putting out zero alcohol stuff, which has always kind of like been weird to me that people would drink 0% beer, because beer sucks. Like beer doesn't taste good. It's not one of those things like, oh yeah, no, I enjoy beer. No, shut up. You don't enjoy beer. That's dumb. You don't like the taste of beer. It does not taste good. But so like, why would you drink that if it's a 0% alcohol? Like at that point, why not just drink soda? Like
I mean,
soda actually tastes good.
the only time that I see people like drinking that stuff is usually at the golf course. And it's like the idea of like getting a beer after the round, but either they don't drink anymore or they need to be somewhere that day and can't be drinking.
Yeah. But again,
Now,
why get one of those? Why not just get a
again,
soda? Just.
it's the idea that so I probably wouldn't do it because I would just say, no, I'm not having anything.
Yeah.
I got to go back to work after this.
Right.
Some people like having a beer, and that's what they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah, it's not me either, right? If I'm gonna drink a beer, I'm gonna drink a beer. I'm not gonna
Yeah,
drink
I'm
a
either
beer
doing it or
to
I'm not. I'm not
exactly.
like,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be one of those people. Now, again, if there's certain people that struggle and non-alcoholic beer helps them not drink or drink less or whatever their fucking situation is, yeah, go nuts. Like, I'm not gonna tell you that because I saw like a couple guys like recently talking about it or a couple like Twitter guys. And a lot of them said it's like, dude, it's fucking difficult, but like, there's so many non-alcoholic options now that it's a little bit easier. And they were like, which ones do you like? Like, it was like a full-on conversation, which, like, again, I don't know what that struggle is for those people, so I
Yeah.
can't pretend that I do. But yeah, I've definitely seen. At the golf course, I've definitely seen guys that do drink, but like, they're like, oh, I can't be fucked up today. So can I get like the fucking Heineken Zero, or whatever the fuck it is?
Right,
Which,
right.
ew.
Yeah, ew.
But again, I don't know how many fucking non-alcoholic options we even have. I feel like it's only two.
I mean, there's way more now.
No, I know, I know, no, but I'm saying at the
Oh,
bar.
at your course. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure every company makes a non-alcoholic at this point.
Yeah, it's because of that, right? Because of Gen Z, basically. They're trying to be like, oh shit. Because I think the whole thing about Gen Z is they're kind of catching on to like, well, if I drink a lot of this, it makes me feel like shit. And I don't want to feel like shit. So I'm just not gonna drink. Like that's kind of, Gen Z is a massive, I mean, I'm gonna sound like an old guy right now, right? Talking shit about the younger generation, which is what everyone did about millennials 10 years ago, right? Oh, millennials, they don't want to work, they don't do this, whatever. I get it, right? I'm the old man yelling at a cloud now. But Gen Z is a bunch of giant fucking pussies. Like big time, right? They don't drink. I heard in a podcast the other day, I forget what the actual statistic was, but they also have the highest rate of any generation of their age. I think it's all like relative to this time, right? Between the ages of 21 and 27, where there's more virgins than ever. There's more people that are not like sexually active, which again, whatever. I'm not going to knock people that, whatever. Yeah, to each their own, right? But when you, it's all these collective things, right? It's the generation doesn't drink. They're not interested in sex at all. And it's like, what are they doing? Like they're playing video, their use of video games is through the roof, right? So it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, what are you good for? Did you do anything other than play video games?
Luckily, I don't have to deal with a lot of these people. I mean, at work, it's probably a different generation at this point.
Yeah, it's the I think they're I think it's the Generation Alpha, I think, is after Generation Z. I don't know when. I mean, the wee baby Seamus is in Generation Alpha. I know that.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. These kids aren't even old enough to have fucking real opinions anyway.
Yeah.
But even if you go to just like, so I watched one of the Sandbagger videos with Spit and Chicklets when they play golf, and it was Jeremy Roenick and it was Timu Solani going against Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette.
Yeah.
And Timu Solani, he was drinking something. I don't know what beer it was. He goes, "Oh, we used to have these in the locker room." And they were like, "Oh, it ain't like that anymore." He's like, no. And they was like, "So like just like at your stall, you'd have like a six pack or something?" He goes, "No. Before you," he goes, "you walk into the locker room before you even get to your stall, big cooler of beer." He goes, "After a big win," he goes, "No, every day." He goes, every game. There's just a big cooler of beer in the middle of the locker room. And he said that was every day. He goes, "No, not like that anymore." He goes, "Now they have their protein shakes and they have their other stuff."
Yeah.
He goes, "The old guys are gone where that used to be a thing." And it's, yeah, that was like a real thing. But
Yeah,
I also think part of it is like this, like, and I don't want to get too much into the sociology of it, but it's like, back in the day, it's like, "Oh, after the game, I'm gonna have a beer or two with the guys, and that's what I'm gonna do, and then I'm gonna move on with my life."
right.
And now again, I'm in the field, indirectly, but now it's like when it comes to peak performance, it's like, no, you don't want to be drinking after a game.
Yeah.
So it's
Alcohol is
like,
going to impair my recovery.
which it does,
It, yeah,
but
it's a fact. Yeah.
it does. But like people care about that stuff now. Like they
Right.
just, again, like, so if we take the hockey example, like they care about their performance a lot more now. The way it used to be was, "No, I'm gonna have a beer or two after the game, and I'll show back up and I'll lift some weights tomorrow, and maybe I'm a bike guy or get on the bike. I'll do some extra skill stuff, but yeah, I'm gonna have two beers tonight.
Right.
I'm gonna have two beers after tomorrow night's game. And then when we play on Saturday, I'm probably going to have three or four beers because it's Saturday."
Right. Right.
It's just not like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to a little bit of this Gen Z thing, right? Again, being 21 to 27 and kind of coming of age really in both the Me Too era and COVID, right? So that's going to fuck up a lot of shit for people, right? Because these people that were, if they're 21, 27 now, they were 16 to 21 when between Me Too and COVID, or even younger for Me Too, right? That would be 2015. So it'd be like 12. Right. So basically, from the age of 12 until, 21, right? Or what, 16 to 27, like you've had a lot of like really weird social goings on. Right. So you're going to be a lot more hesitant, which again, in the podcast that I listened to the other day, they talked about that, where like kids are very open about like, "Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble, right? Like, I don't want to be a creep. Like,
Yeah, it's
I don't
like,
want to, you know what I mean?"
it's like, because like when we were in college, it's like You go to the bar and say like two people are like sloppily making out in the corner, and it's like,
Right.
okay, well, they're gonna go home tonight.
Right.
No one was particularly concerned with assault one way or the other. Like, it
Right.
wasn't something we thought about.
Right. Right.
Now, it was definitely like in that, so in that specific situation, it's like, okay, that's a drunk hookup. Like, that is a thing that happens.
Yeah,
Like,
happens all the time,
we
very
all accept
regular.
that.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to a frat party, you need to fucking have your head on a swivel because
Right.
everyone knows that fucking shit happens at these things.
Right.
So, like, I don't want to say, oh, well, no one got in trouble. No, shit happened,
Right.
but you would look at two people who are fucking going at it in the bar, the house party, whatever, and it's like, all right, have fun, you two.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that would be the thought. But now I guarantee there's probably an aspect of, well, I'm not going to get too banged up at this house party because I don't want any trouble.
Right,
I don't
right.
want to run into the wrong person. I don't want to,
Yeah.
wake up and then start with like a whole thing. I guess I could see that like starting to be much more prevalent than when we were in school.
Yeah, so the podcast I listened to was with Jonathan Haidt, who wrote Coddling of the American Mind, which is a fantastic book that I thoroughly enjoyed. He also wrote The Happiness Hypothesis, which was, I think, either his first or his second book. But he has a new book coming out, and it's talking about like this new generation, right? And kind of how to combat some of the issues that they're dealing with, and how, everyone's got anxiety and everyone's got all this stuff. But one of the things he talked about was young men, right, between the ages of 21 and 27, report, I think he called it approach anxiety, where they get anxiety over approaching a woman at a bar, right? They will not do it. They're afraid to approach a woman at a bar and just to strike up conversation, right? And like, that's how people met like 20 years ago, right? Like 20 years ago was not that long ago. Like in 2004, right? This was pre-iPhone, pre-Tinder, pre-Bumble, pre all these dating apps, right? Pre-technology, like again, iPhone. You met people by walking up to them and talking to them at the bar. Right, more often than not, or somewhere, right, where it didn't have to be a bar, but some social setting, right, you would go up to someone and you would speak to them. And now people in Gen Z are have legitimate anxiety surrounding talking to other people in social
Yeah, so
settings.
and here's the other thing too. So I don't want to, sound like I'm fucking dude love over here either. But like, not the most outgoing of people. So do you think when I was in college, the idea of going up and talking to someone was like the most comfortable fucking thing in the world?
Right.
No. But do you think I just sat in the back going, yeah, you know what? Kind of anxious. Must be my anxiety kicking it. It's like,
Yeah.
no, dude. It's like,
Yeah.
yes, that's like an anxiety-inducing thing for a lot of people, but that's the cost of doing business.
Right.
Now,
Yeah.
some people don't give a fuck, so it's less anxiety-inducing.
Right.
But yes, for a lot of people, it can be. It didn't mean you didn't do it.
Right.
That's why you're at the bar.
Yeah.
And that's why you probably pre-gamed going to the bar. Because
Yeah.
you need a little extra something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that hasn't changed. It's people's responses to it that have.
Right. Yeah, it's just it's weird, right? And I mean, I get the whole, I get the being nervous about not wanting to get in trouble, right? Like that totally makes sense. I think we're mostly through that, but I mean, you've all heard the stories, right? Of, two people meet at a bar, they hook up, they go home, and then the next day she says she got raped, right? And it's like, okay, all right, well, that is scary. Right? Like that's unfortunate. I can totally get the hesitancy there. But I think we're mostly through the craziness there. I don't think that, I mean, obviously that still happens because that happened 20 years ago. That's always happened, right?
Right.
I think it was just more prevalent, like
You
maybe
know what I
7 years
think? You
ago.
know what I think's different now? Because if things are less going that way, like what you're saying, it's more so in like the public eye, less so in the. I think you're again, because I think you're starting to see a little bit more of like the false accusations being almost like called out in a way. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know who the most recent athlete was, but it's like he was accused of assault in some way, shape, or form. Well, then the victim refused to put a statement out there, or I refused to put a statement to the proper authorities. It's like,
Was it Tyreek Hill?
I don't remember. Well, I think he's usually more of like physical assault.
Yeah.
That's usually more his game, not sexual.
Yeah.
But it's like then the victim's like, well, I'm not gonna make a statement on record. It's like, why? And
Yeah.
it's like then the case gets thrown out, and it's like, what was that for? Like, was that just another frivolous claim that wasn't true?
Right.
So I think you're starting to see a little bit more of that. But how do you think? Because I'm sure you remember the RAs, the orientation leaders, like that whole contingent of people. How do you
Right.
think they're framing a lot of that stuff to the incoming freshmen, to the kids on tours? Or I guess it wouldn't be on tours because you don't want to false threaten
Yeah,
people on
yeah.
tours. But like at orientation, what do you think they're saying? They're telling these people, oh, make sure you don't drink too much because you don't want to.
Right.
You don't want to assault anybody, or you don't want to get, into that. And it's
Right.
like making sure that, like, the partner you're with consents to whatever. It's like they're definitely framing that type of shit. 100%. I'm not even there, and I know that that's 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a different time, right? And I think generations are different, and it's interesting to kind of see the differences there, at least. I don't even know how we got to that. We're talking about Joel Lieberman. No idea. But anyway, I saw the other day that our buddy, Mayor Wu, is having a tough time, having a tough go in Boston, particularly when it comes to the budget. So the latest from the old Boston City Council, right, is that budget cuts are coming. Right. So the school committee just approved a $1.5 billion budget Wednesday night. So this is an article I got from CBS. It just came out 2 days ago. So this last Wednesday night, they approved a $1.5 billion budget, which will include layoffs and consolidating classrooms. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with Boston Public Schools right now, but they aren't great. And now they are going to lay off teachers and they're going to make classrooms that were already too big even bigger.
Yeah,
So,
what's the problem?
let's see, the Condon School in South Boston. I know where that is. Will be losing 8 classrooms, most of any school in the city. About 77 managerial staff positions are on track to be cut, and there will be layoffs from other positions across the district, but that's still in flux at the moment. After a school committee on Wednesday night, Superintendent Mary Skipper thanked Mayor Michelle Wu for adding $80 million to the budget from the city's general fund. But with the loss of the federal pandemic relief funding, The extra money was not enough to cover all the positions in the district. So
the school was relying on pandemic funds to stay going?
Apparently.
Do they understand that that was 4 fucking years ago?
Apparently not. So it was called the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund, which was apparently money that came out of the pandemic. So Jesus Mary Christ. Skipper, again, the superintendent of BPS, said, this is a direct quote, "The anticipated end of ESSER, which is that relief fund, in September 2024, makes the fiscal year 25 budget one of the most difficult in a decade." Hey, lady.
You people are idiots.
You had 3 years to get ready to not have this money anymore.
I fuck it. That shit pisses me off too, because it's like, oh, we have this money. Let's, you know, either pay these people or expand this program, whatever. And it's like, well, what happens when it's gone? It's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Then it's like, the money's gone and we didn't figure it out. It's like, you people are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You really are.
And the city doesn't have the money to cover otherwise, right? Because it's spending money in all kinds of other ways, right? Like housing illegal immigrants and doing God knows what else, right? So no one has the money for any of this stuff.
It's all fucked, dude. It's all fucked.
Yeah. So, Boston Public Schools is going down the shitter, I guess you
could say.
When
is she up for election again?
That's a good question. Let me
I feel
see
like she's only. I feel like she's only in like year two or something.
Yeah, I feel like she hasn't really been around that long.
Long enough to do a lot of fucking stupid shit, though. Holy fuck.
Yeah, seriously. She won the election in 2021.
So she's in her third year. Is it a 4 or 6 year term?
Let's find out. Let's check Wikipedia. Or I guess I could just Google when is the next Boston mayor race. When is the next Boston mayor election? The 2021 Boston mayoral election. The next one is 2025. All right. So it's next year.
And obviously this is a stupid question. I assume that even though it's Boston, only Boston residents vote for this idiot.
Yeah.
I hope people are paying attention here.
Yeah. I'm seeing already through Wikipedia that they have a list of potential candidates, and one of the potential candidates is Josh Kraft, who is one of the sons of Bob Kraft.
Great.
Like, hey man, you probably should have ran in 2021. Because you can't run on the Kraft name anymore because most of the people around here fucking hate your dad now. Because he ruined the franchise.
Yeah, but if you play the political game, he's still powerful enough.
Well, yeah, no, that's a good point. But again, like I said, it would have been one of those, like, it would have made a lot more sense for him to try and run in 21 versus 25. Ed Flynn. Don't know who that is, but the name sounds familiar. He's on the Boston City Council.
It's because it sounds like one of our buddy's fathers.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait a second.
I'll say, because who the hell is that?
Yeah. Oh, his father was a Boston mayor. Must have been before Menino. Ray Flynn. Yeah, he was the mayor of Boston from 84 to 93. So during the Whitey days.
Guy named Flynn, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he was clean. I think Menino must have took over after that. He was in for like a long fucking time. Yeah, he was. He came in after Flynn. He was in from 93 to 2014. Did they institute? I don't know if you would know this, but did they institute a
Definitely not.
term limit for Boston mayor after Menino?
I don't know. I also don't know if anybody really wants to be mayor for a long period of time.
There's a lot of them, dude. They're so Menino was a mayor for 20 years. Flynn before him was a mayor for almost 10 years. Kevin White was before him for 16 years, right? Marty Walsh after Menino was 7 years. I mean, McGlynn was the mayor of Medford for like 36 years. He was the longest serving mayor in the country, I think, at one point. He like got invited to like Washington, D.C. And it's like, why is the mayor of Medford going to D.C.? It's like, oh, he's the longest tenured mayor in the entire country. It's like, is that a good thing? I don't know.
I don't think the mayor of Boston can be a long-term thing anymore. I would say 8 years is probably all you can get. Because then at
Yeah.
some point, like all these idiots are going to be trying to move on.
Well, I mean, that's what Walsh did. He got put into the Biden cabinet as like fucking, I
Forget
forget.
what he got.
Yeah. The governor of Rhode Island got commerce, like the commerce secretary or something. But yeah.
Chucky Baker's the one who made out. He's fucking like NCAA king right
Yeah, I
now.
know, right? let me see. There are no term limits for the mayor of Boston.
What I mean is, like, she can keep running and running and running, but, like, especially her, she's gonna be too polarizing. She's not gonna be able to keep winning.
Yeah. Apparently, they voted. This was a ballot question in Boston in 2009, to institute term limits for mayor and city councilors, and the people in Boston voted no.
That's because they like Menino at the time, I think.
Yeah, probably. Everyone loved Menino. But all right. Now you got anything else? Or you want to wrap this up?
At that time, it
Yeah, it's
is
about
that
that
time.
time.
So Mikhail and I went to, we actually like went to Illegal Seafoods on Friday, which we would like DoorDash it a bit. And I don't know why, but like I kind of came under the assumption that like Illegal Seafoods was just kind of like fucking very average. Very pleasantly surprised. Food was like really good. So I don't know what happened to my perception, because I think back like a while ago, I would have said, oh yeah, no, it's good. And then I was kind of like, eh, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's good. They know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, I think they recently revamped their whole shit, like within the last couple of years.
Maybe. I mean, we also went to the Legal Sea Bar in Dedham. So obviously the menu's a little bit different. Like the
Right.
restaurant's a little bit different. But like the classic stuff is still there. Like it's still the
Right.
same shit. But again, it's like between like door dashing it to the house or picking up or, you know, going to a couple other places. It's like I just kind of got the vibe that it was like good, but not great, whatever. The food we got was fucking really good. So I guess credit to Legal Seafoods. But we did open, or I opened with fried calamari, and I did get it Rhode Island style. And Rhode Island style has just got the hot cherry peppers
Right.
with it, which I do like, and kind of made me think. Is that Rhode Island's greatest contribution to society? Because I don't know what else Rhode Island has going for it. Like, I don't give a, like, the Rhode Island fucking party pizza, whatever the fuck, that's served cold with no cheese.
Yeah, it's
like,
not good. It's
that's not that good.
No, it's not good.
Now, the place that does, like, the pizza chips or, like, the party pizza chips, whatever the fuck place that Craig gets them from, they're fucking awesome. Whatever the place, whatever bakery that is.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, yeah, like, the party pizza thing, like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's not good.
Doesn't taste that good.
No, it's not good.
And then, like, everyone's, oh, well, Federal Hill's good. It's like, yeah. But
the North End is better.
The North End is better.
Yeah.
And I can find other places to go.
Right.
Like, we know they didn't show up for the Revolutionary War.
Well, yeah.
So, like, I just don't really know what, like, Rhode Island really doesn't bring shit to the table.
Yeah, and, like, you can't be like, oh, well, Newport's cool, because, like, cool, you can go to Plymouth, you can go to the Cape, right? Like, I would make the argument that Plymouth is probably, well, not really. Plymouth is not better than Newport, but the Cape certainly is better than Newport.
I mean, Newport's a good spot, but, like...
It's good, but, like...
I don't...
You can get the same thing in the Cape.
Yeah, and I don't, now I didn't grow up going to Newport either, so it's like, I don't sit there being like, ah, gotta get back.
Yeah.
I've never once thought that.
Yeah.
Now I understand, now some people do like it, and.
Oh, I think, coffee milk.
What?
Coffee milk is pretty good.
What the fuck is coffee milk?
It's regular milk that you put coffee syrup in, and it tastes like coffee. That's a Rhode Island thing. Still probably, yeah, still probably not better than Rhode Island style calamari though.
Oh, no way. Cause coffee milk, that's such a random thing.
Cause
it's not better than coffee, I assume. I'm not hearing that argument.
It's not.
And then it's like, if you're trying to drink milk, well, that doesn't fit the bill.
Yeah. I mean, Dell's lemonade can pound sand. It's not that good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
Like what Narragansett beer?
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck off.
Not hearing that either.
Cause I'm looking at a list of like Rhode Island things. One of them says clam cakes. No. Like go to Maryland.
Excuse me.
Like you're not Rhode Island is not.
It's crab cakes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And get the fuck out of here with your fucking clam cakes. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all, dude.
No.
And what the fuck is wrong with just frying them?
Yeah.
Fried clams or like clams on the shell. Why the fuck would I make those into a cake?
Someone said Zeppelis. That's a New Jersey thing. Rhode Island stole that from New Jersey.
I think that's an Italian thing, though. Like, it originally.
It is, yeah, yeah.
You can't claim that.
Yeah.
Whether you're New Jersey or fucking Rhode Island, you can't claim that.
Yeah.
Those are like the fucking donut things, right?
Okay, stuffies are pretty good.
What the fuck is a stuffy?
It's a stuffed quahog. Those are actually really fucking good.
I'm so okay. So I've never had one, so I can't evaluate. I'm sure it's fucking good.
It is.
We have to call them stuffies. Can't be just stuffed cogs. Fuck
yeah. the Porta Guineas got their hands on them, and now like they make some with chorizo, so it's like peppers, chorizo. Stuff like bread, like it's like a bread stuffing, right? It's pretty fucking good. I'd be in
for that.
Yeah.
But I've never had one. And my contention, now again, I haven't tried one, but quahogs are regional, so I gotcha. But stuffed clams are a thing. Now, if you tell me that the stuff these stuffies take the stuffed clam and make it that much better, fine. Because that's the argument I make for Rhode Island calamari. Because you can have fried calamari,
Right.
which is good in most places, but the Rhode Island style with the hot cherry peppers just makes it a little bit better.
Right.
So if it's the same deal with the stuffies, fine. That name pisses me off so much. I'm just gonna call them stuffed quahogs. Oh, because it's like it's again, it's like it's not the same, but it's the same. Like the fucking Joey's and Tony's that think they're fucking Tony Soprano
Yeah.
in New Jersey, where they can't just say fucking words normally, is the same
Yeah.
thing. Like, oh, stuffies, dude, they're stuffed quahogs. It's not that hard to say.
Yep.
Are they good?
Yeah, they are. They
Do
fucking
they
bang.
take what would be a stuffed clam and just make it that much better?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
There's
Fine.
like,
Because I was gonna say
there's.
if they're just a different type of stuffed clam, like a variant of stuffed clam, then yes, I was gonna crush it. But
There's
if
a
they
place called Dave's Market. It's like a little tiny, it's like a Whole Foods. It's like what Whole Foods used to
Oh
be.
yeah. Mikayla and I took a wrong turn one time, ended up in the one in Smithfield.
Okay.
In that plaza
Yeah.
is the worst fucking plaza I've ever seen in my entire life. There's one way in, one way out, and the fucking line was nuts.
Yeah.
It was left fucking by far the biggest mistake we've ever made fucking driving.
but I like Dave's. Like I said, it's what Whole Foods used to be before they went corporate. But they make stuffies that like literally like you can fucking fist like this. Like you gotta like grab it. Like it's that much just stuffing in it. It's pretty
Yeah,
good.
truth be told, I would fuck with those.
Yeah, they're delicious. So yeah, I think those two are
Did
the
right though.
probably the only thing the only things that Rhode Island has contributed to society. And you could make the argument that all they did was take something else that already existed and just
No.
make it a little bit better.
But credit to enhancing something else that already exists. That
No, for sure. Yeah.
because even like because that is important, because you can take something that's already good and A, not fuck it up, and B, make it better, and I'm in, because that's credit where credit's due. So I guess I have to have some of these stuffed quahogs at some point.
We'll get them. Maybe I'll get some for Master Saturday. That'll be fun. A porchetta and stuffed quahogs. That's a combination. All right. My final thought is, well, it's that time of year, right? By the time this comes out on Thursday, we'll be in April. So we will officially be 1 week away from the Masters, which is the greatest 4 days ever. So I don't know if you saw this, but Jon Rahm released his menu for the Masters, right? As we've done just about every year we've done this podcast, we've talked about the Masters dinner menu. So Jon Rahm, obviously now on the LIV Tour, won the Masters last year, which means he gets to pick the menu of food for this year for the champions dinner. Well, there were some people, not a lot of people, but there were some people that obviously had something to say about it because the entire menu is in Spanish, right? So, whatever, right? Like, who cares? It just doesn't really matter.
Well, he is in fact Spanish.
He is in fact from Spain. He is about as Spanish as it gets. But
Literally could not be any more Spanish.
yeah, I want to say that I think he crushed this menu. So he actually kind of skirted a little bit, right? Because like in the past, The master's dinner menus is like some sort of appetizer, right? Whether whatever it is, right? Whether it's a salad or some sort of appetizer thing. And then they do first course, second course, dessert. A lot of times they have options. A lot of times they do whatever. Well, being from Spain, right? Spain is known for these little things called tapas, right? I love tapas. I think I love the concept, right? But all it is a bunch of little tiny appetizers that you just kind of like grab. So he has six different tapas. He's got Ibericos, so which is acorn-fed Iberian ham, cured pork loin. That sounds delicious. The next one, I'm gonna butcher this. Cliazabal con trufa negra, which is diazabal cheese and black truffle, right? That's probably quite literally what it translates to. You've got tortilla de patatas, which, hey, if you had to guess, probably say it's a Spanish omelet with onions and confit potatoes. You would guess correctly. Chistorra con patata is spicy chorizo and potato. Lente has estofadas, which is this one, Mama Ram's classic lentil stew. And this is, again, we've talked about this before, but the length to which the mat, like Augusta, will go to have their chefs make quite literally anything. They got John Ram's mother's lentil stew recipe, and that's what they're going to serve as one of the tapas. I think that's cool as fuck, but I mean, that's just me. I don't like lentil stew. I probably wouldn't. I mean, I would eat it if I was there because it's fucking Augusta and you eat everything that they give you. But I have no personal interest in lentil stew. But the fact that like they went out of their way to get his mother's recipe to serve it, again, I think that's pretty fucking awesome. And then croqueta de pollo, which is creamy chicken fritters and confit potatoes. So those are the six tapas that you get. Then your first course is ensalada de changuro, which is a Basque crab salad and potato. So that's your first course. And then your main course, you get a choice of ribeye, lettuce and peppers, or turbot. I
Don't
don't
know what
know.
turbot
I
is.
don't know what turbot is. I'm assuming maybe it's fish.
Yeah, I guess.
With Navarra white asparagus. And then the dessert is a puff pastry cake, custard, and chantilly cream. So I think all those are delicious. I would eat all six tapas, right? I'm gonna eat the crab salad, and obviously I'm gonna get the ribeye, and that dessert sounds great. So all those people that are out there are like, oh, why is it in Spanish? First of all, go fuck yourself. Right, he's quite literally from Spain. It's the same people that complained about Hideki serving sushi, right? It's like, well, I can't believe that
Or
one.
like the miso like sea bass.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to get that. It's like, well, you know what? One, you're not at the Masters.
Yeah.
Someone said that. It's like, well, if you don't like the menu, win the Masters. Two, the thing that some people forget, you can order whatever you want. They don't give a shit. You can get whatever.
Yeah, you don't
That's the
need to
menu that
order
the
from his menu.
No, you can get whatever the fuck you want. You want fucking burger and fries, they'll do it. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But that's just like what the past champ puts together.
Right. So
Yeah, and
I
there's
think this
like
is a pretty
I
good
think
fucking menu.
yeah, it just if I was gonna nitpick, it just seems like there's potato in fucking
Yeah.
6 out of 10 fucking things, but again, I'm sure. Well, first of all, none of the food will be bad. I'm not eating the lentil stew. Fuck that. And yeah, after that, I mean, But that's the thing. People get like bent out of shape and it's like, well, just give me a steak, whatever. It's like, just say you don't like him because he's Spanish and you
Yeah.
don't want to eat different food. Like,
Right. And this is after the year prior, everyone said, I'm like, because I literally just Googled this and everyone was saying Scottie Scheffler's dinner was quote unquote perfect. His menu, I'll run through really quickly. Cheeseburger sliders and firecracker shrimp was your appetizer. Your first course was tortilla soup. And then you got a choice between a Texas ribeye or black and red fish. And the dessert was warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. That's about as boring as it fucking gets.
it fits Scottie Scheffler.
Well, yeah, it does. But like everyone's like,
I
oh,
think
that's perfect.
yeah, don't get me wrong, because well, first of all, I don't really want cheeseburger sliders. Like,
No.
I'm not fucking 12. That would not be like my appetizer. So yeah, I mean, like, dude, if I said, we'll just keep it on topic, like, okay, the appetizer is fried calamari or you can get shrimp cocktail. Pick one.
Yeah.
Then the salad is a Caesar or a garden salad. Okay, fine. And then the entree is a ribeye or it's a cut of fish or scallops. It's my fucking wedding options. It's a
Yeah.
ribeye or it's scallops. And then the dessert is ice cream cake or fucking whatever. Everyone would be sitting there like, oh, that's the best. That's awesome. It's like, yeah, because I just picked the most popular shit. And it's like it didn't take any like real thought or effort to put that together.
Right.
And it's like it's Augusta National. They can make whatever. It's
Yeah, they
like
have the
some of
means
the
to make whatever.
they have like potentially the best kitchen in the entire world. So yes, that would be good, but it's like you can ask them to do more. That's the thing. Would you rather eat ribeye or beef Wellington?
Yeah, give me the ribeye.
I'd probably rather eat a ribeye.
Yeah,
I might
exactly.
ask him to make a beef Wellington just because I know that they fucking can.
Yeah.
Like, is a ribeye better? Yeah.
They
When the
might
fuck
make
else
you
am I
a
gonna
beef
ever like
Wellington with a ribeye.
turf and turf?
Yeah.
Imagine that doing like a fucking. A turf and turf, where it's like it's a portion of beef Wellington, a portion of ribeye, and a portion of like short rib.
That would be
Then the
pretty
other
good.
option could be like a turf and turf, where it's like a fillet, a beef rib, and a like a Wagyu or something.
Yeah.
That would be tough. That would be tough to pick from.
Yeah, no, that would be pretty good. So I think the important takeaway here, though, is we're 1 week away from the Masters. So enjoy it. It's coming. So yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to click subscribe up above, hit the thumbs up down below. Subscribe if you're an audio only guy. Leave us 5 stars in a review on Spotify and Apple. You get us on Instagram at Sarcasm Speaks Pod. We're on Twitter at Sarcasm underscore Speaks. Facebook at Sarcasm Speaks. Website sarcasmspeaks.com. Go to the merch store, buy some merch, and then check out all the sponsors in the show notes below. You'll have all your links and all your discount codes and promos and everything you need to save a bunch of money from a lot of really cool companies. So go support those guys. And that's it. Until next time, good night, everybody.